You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Kelda Martinson. Kelda, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been, I've been really excited to talk to you.
So Kelda, I want to talk about what's in your studio at the moment, but you're calling from Seattle, Washington. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
So how is it Seattle today? What's Seattle like? I hear it's like kind of a wonderful, vibrant city. I talked to more people from there recently than I thought I would. It seems that there's a lot going on there.
There is, yeah. I really appreciate living here. I think it's a really supportive place, and it's lately there's a lot like popping up. There's a new contemporary art space that's just being built now called the Museum of Museums, which is exciting. There's a wonderful community center and art space called Wanawari that just opened up in the Central District.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new gallery, Jay Reinhardt opening. There's lots going on. I think you talked to Tracy Rector about the Yihau show, which has sort of been all over the city in pockets and satellites. So it feels like a really vibrant place these days. It's been good to me.
That sounds great. So what's happening in your studio now? What are you working on? If it's more than one project, tell me everything.
I am looking forward to a few different shows. I am curating a show with my with Paula Rebsum, who's a fantastic artist and a colleague of mine. We're doing a group show, curating a group show at Soil Gallery that will happen next spring, and it's around the work that artist mothers are making when their children are young and they're, in most cases, working in addition outside of the home. And it's about like the work that we make when we're not really making the work we want to be making or should be making or are making for other shows and opportunities. So rather the like sort of in between, more temporary, potentially like smaller or transient work that's like about those tiny, tiny moments of time that you have raising young kids. So I'm really excited about that. And then I'm in a group show, an introductory show for Gallery J. Reinhardt in the fall. And then just got news of a fellowship through the Seattle Print Arts that will help fund a body of work for next year of prints and artist books. So, yeah, that's what's going on. And I'm transitioning out of teaching. Our academic year just finished last week, so I'm also decompressing from that.
Does that mean you won't go back to teach again or just for this year?
I will teach again in the fall, yeah. So I get the summer off, luckily.
So let's talk about a few of those things. The artist mother's art in the group show. I wasn't clear whether that was by artists who are mothers and the work that they're making or the mothers of the artists who and what they made when we were young. I mean, what immediately came to mind for me was what art my mother was making when I was little, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
There's the art that, you know, because that influences you as an artist too, right? For some people, if their mothers are artists, like, what is she making? And maybe it's not like art with a capital A. It's something that's related, mm-hmm. that's influential. But that wasn't the meaning, right? It was something else.
Well, in a way, if you could time travel, like that will be, you know, potentially decades from now, that would be what this show is about. Because this show is about the artists now who have young children, as I do and as my co-curator Paula does, who are making work just to sort of feel like they're still in it, right? Like in the game, in the making, but the work might not be what their gallery, what they plan to be showing. So this came to me as part of this. I participate in the Artist Residency in Motherhood, which is a open source residency organized by Lenka Clayton, you know, this wonderful social practice artist. And after my second daughter was born almost 2 years ago now, everything shifted for me in terms of my relationship with time in the studio, my identity as an artist, my identity as a parent. It just, my whole world really shifted. And I started thinking more in these small moments of and slices of time in the studio. So working a lot in collage, actually, and artist books sort of born of very small collages and even in a temporary state. So I wouldn't even necessarily commit the collage, meaning like I wouldn't even adhere it, right? But rather document it as this overlapping moment of materials. And then I started wondering if that was enough, you know, like all the questioning you do as a parent and as an artist. And, you know, this isn't the big show I would make with it had I more time or energy or resources or access to space, but it is the work I'm making now. And maybe that's enough. And then I started noticing just on Instagram and through this artist residency and motherhood community that all sorts of artists had this like side game they were doing along with their children or in spite of their children or because of their children and or just because of the state of life they were in. And so when the opportunity came to propose a group show for Soil, I just really wanted to get it into the light, that work, this sort of work made in these moments of exhaustion and madness. And I think it's
very I think it's really interesting too. You know, oftentimes I interview artists and their parents, and it's often after the interview I start chatting with them about the challenges and also what's exciting about being a parent and an artist, because there's the challenge of making art, but also the influence your kids might have on your art as well, from collaborating with you to just being inspired by their work. So in the show that you're talking about, the group show about artists' mothers' art, is there a theme to it in the sense of, you know, does it tend to be in the work that you've looked at and that you're curating, I mean, as well as your own, and you touched on a few of these things, is it about the issue of time and energy, is that what's happening a lot of the time, or is it a different kind of a content, or both? I don't know.
I think it's about time, and we are still in the very beginning stages of it. It's not until late next spring, so it's still forming. But I think everyone really brings a unique perspective and a unique relationship to motherhood and to time. But the main sort of criteria is that it isn't the work that we necessarily know from these artists. It comes from sort of a more intimate space that they share maybe with no one. So, but yet it's so... there's a lot of tenderness to it and strangeness and really inventive way of approaching material and ideas. So, yeah, yet to be seen, but I'm really excited by what I'm starting to see.
That's interesting, the idea of work that you wouldn't show to anyone, too. I mean, again, I think of, you know, bringing up memories of my mother when I'd say to her, oh, draw, a clown or a dog or something. And it's not that she was... you know, some amazing artist, but, you know, she could draw a dog or a man or a woman or something, and it was wowing to a child, you know. It was about the interaction with the child, right? Not so much like, this is great art or whatever, but it is some form of art. So that's really interesting. Yeah, I could talk a while about that, but I'd like to talk about the fellowship you got and what that will fun. So tell me a little bit about that fellowship. That's congratulations on that. And I'd love to know what you imagine you'll be making with that. What was the fellowship again? That was,
it's through the Seattle Print Arts Organization, and it's in, loving memory of a artist named Larry Summers, who died far too young. And he was a longtime beloved print shop tech at the University of Washington. and so touched many, many lives, and is an activist and a great, great artist and just a really huge, generous spirit. And so this fellowship has now been created in his memory, and it funds work, you know, depending on what the proposal was. So I really am excited to use it to both work with a create body of prints and corresponding artist book, and then also be able to document it and exhibit it, hopefully, for next year.
So I want to talk more about that, but the fellowship, in terms of making the prints and books, will you have access to a studio for bookmaking or printmaking? How will that work?
Yeah, I work in my home. I have a little basement studio here in Seattle, and but what I will need the funds for is for the book cloth and book material, and then also the paper. I'm fortunate to have a press at home, and we just got a letterpress at the college where I teach, so I can also bring in a bit of letterpress, which I'm excited about. And then I often frame my work so that adds up, and when I'm trying to put together an exhibition. So I'm just really, really grateful for the financial assistance. And just to be seen always is so humbling, and I feel really grateful for that.
You mean to be seen in terms of getting a fellowship, the recognition of that?
Yeah,
that is cool. And so so let's talk about the book a little bit. I know that it's not formed. It's not even, maybe you don't even have the idea for it yet, but you've made books before in a lot of different ways. What do you imagine the next book project will be? Is it maybe we could talk about how you move into a project like that. Is it a narrative you come up with, or the way the prints kind of talk to one another? What would it, how do you approach that?
I think I approach the book and the print in a similar way. I oftentimes will have elements of my prints on paper that have pieces of paper that can fold or lift or come off of the surface. And so in that way, I feel like they occupy this space between a two-dimensional, you know, woodblock or collage and a book. And then also I sometimes create an artist book just to be open to one spread. You know, maybe I'll make an entire artist book and then I'll frame it only open to one, or I'll build it in a way where there's really only one page to be seen. I'm really interested in the artist book for its form and its sort of the potential of a larger story that you maybe can have access to and maybe can't. The idea of pages that, as you said, are in conversation with one another. I was talking to my friend Amanda Knowles about sort of the gallery space and sort of the coveted corner of a room and how nice that is. And we were talking about how that's also so much like an artist book, right? Like there's two sort of walls that are really quite close to one another or nestled in. And I see that in terms of pages and sequencing. I oftentimes will make artist books that aren't bound at all, and all the pages are loose leaf and can really be operated in any way, in any order. So I'll approach it as one, as a body of work, and maybe some of the prints really live within the case of the book or have some sort of spine to them in the end, and then others really will just exist alone, you know, potentially just to hang on the wall. So we will see. Yeah.
That's exciting. And in terms of, we're talking about the future, and we could talk about some of your books of the past, but in terms of binding these books, obviously these are very small editions mostly, and the ones for the fellowship will most likely be a small edition. But to speak to some of the works of the past, how do you approach the binding of the book? Because you're saying some are unbound, of course, but for the ones that are bound, there's obviously a huge latitude there in terms of what you could do. So how do you approach that?
I always return to the accordion fold. I mean, I just really love the simplicity and how it can both operate as traditional book or pull out to be like a frieze format or and just how it can also stand on its own. I'm really not a book binder. I don't get a lot from the act of stitching or binding as a technique. I just love working with books in terms of sort of the language they present and the history that comes with them. But I think I love the folded forms the best.
Yeah, well, there's something, what's nice about the accordion too is it can be displayed, right? That in that form,
right.
You can kind of open up the book. And yeah, that's really lovely. So so let me ask you one more question. I'm always curious what everybody's reading. What are you reading at the moment?
Well, I'm just, as I said, coming off of the quarter of teaching, so was able to read a lot of academic texts for this class that I'm that I was co-teaching. It was a book arts class, and along with intercultural communication and English composition, it was a great course. And we read many great books, but one of which I'm really still thinking about is called Sister Tongue. It's by Lisa Lynn Kinney, and it's about the colonization of the tongue and pidgin dialect in Hawaii. And it's she wrote it in this really visual, innovative way that really approaches sort of artist books, which is why we were teaching it in the class. So that's a great book. I'm also reading At the Gates of the Animal Kingdom, which is a collection of stories by Amy Hempel. What else? Yeah, then I'm also listening to Michelle Obama read her autobiography, Becoming, which is very inspiring.
Oh, that must be nice. Yeah, I haven't read Becoming yet, but you're listening to it. You're hearing, and she's doing the reading of it?
She reads it, yeah. So it's just a joy to listen to.
Oh, that's cool. Kelda, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure. I wish you great time in your fellowship and your time off teaching.
Thank you so much, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.